I was ready to play the card about how I was just trying to do a favor Jerry had asked me for. I said, "Which system are you on?"
"System?"
"Which computer servers does your group use?"
"Oh," she said, "RM22.
And some of the group also use GM16. Good, I needed that, and it was a piece of information I could get from her without making her suspicious, which softened her up for the next bit, done as casually as I could manage. "Jerry said you could give me a list of email addresses for people on the development team," I said, and held my breath.
"Sure. The distribution list is too long to read off. Can I email it to you?"
Oops. Any email address that didn't end in GeminiMed.com would be a huge red flag. "How about you fax it to me?" I said. She had no problem with doing that. "Our fax machine is on the blink. I'll have to get the number of another one. Call you back in a bit," I said, and hung up. Now, you might think I was saddled with a sticky problem here, but it's just another routine trick of the trade. I waited a while so my voice wouldn't sound familiar to the receptionist, then called her and said, "Hi, it's Bill Thomas. Our fax machine isn't working up here. Can I have a fax sent to your machine?" She said sure, and gave me the number. Then I just walk in and pick up the fax, right? Of course not. First rule, never visit the premises unless you absolutely have to. They have a hard time identifying you if you're just a voice on the telephone. And if they can't identify you, they can't arrest you. It's hard to put handcuffs around a voice. So I called the receptionist back after a little while and asked her, "Did my fax come?"
"Yes," she said.
"Look," I told her, "I've got to get that to a consultant we're using. Could you send it out for me?" She agreed, and why not? How could any receptionist be expected to recognize sensitive data? While she sent the fax out to the consultant, I had my exercise for the day walking over to a stationery store near me, the one with the sign out front, "Faxes sent received." My fax was supposed to arrive before I did, and as expected, it was there waiting for me when I walked in. 6 pages at $1.75. For a $10 bill and change, I had the group's entire list of names and email addresses. Getting inside. Okay, so I had by now talked to 3 or 4 different people in only a few hours, and was already one giant step closer to getting inside the company's computers. But I'd need a couple more pieces before I was home. Number 1 was the phone number for dialing into the engineering server from outside. I called Gemini Med again and asked the switchboard operator for the IT department, and asked the guy who answered for somebody who could give me some computer help. He transferred me, and I put on an act of being confused and kind of stupid about anything technical. "I'm at home, just bought a new laptop, and I need to set it up so I can dial in from outside." The procedure was obvious, but I patiently let him talk me through it until he got to the dial-in phone number. He gave me the number like it was just another routine piece of information, then I made him wait while I tried it. Perfect. So now I had passed the hurdle of connecting to the network. I dialed in and found they were set up with a terminal server that would let a caller connect to any computer on their internal network. After a bunch of tries, I stumbled across somebody's computer that had a guest account with no password required. Some operating systems, when first installed, direct the user to set up an ID and password, but also provide a guest account. The user is supposed to set his or her own password for the guest account or disable it, but most people don't know about this or just don't bother. This system was probably just set up, and the owner hadn't bothered to disable the guest account. Thanks to the guest account, I now had access to one computer, which turned out to be running an older version of the Unix operating system. Under Unix, the operating system maintains a password file, which contains the encrypted passwords of everybody authorized to access that computer.
The password file contains the one-way hash, that is a form of encryption that is irreversible, of every user's password. With a one-way hash, an actual password, such as, say, just do it, would be represented by a hash in encrypted form. In this case, the hash would be converted by Unix to 13 alphanumeric characters. Lingo. Password hash. A string of gibberish that results from processing a password through a one-way encryption process. The process is supposedly irreversible. That is, it's believed that it is not possible to reconstruct the password from the hash. When Billy Bob down the hall wants to transfer some files to a computer, he's required to identify himself by providing a username and password. The system program that checks his authorization encrypts the password he enters, and then compares the result to the encrypted password, the hash, contained in the password file. If the two match, he's given access. Because the passwords in the file were encrypted, the file itself was made available to any user on the theory that there's no known way to decrypt the passwords. That's a laugh. I downloaded the file, ran a dictionary attack on it, see Chapter 12 for more about this method, and found that one of the engineers on the development team, a guy named Stephen Kramer, currently had an account on the computer with the password Janice. Just on the chance, I tried entering his account with that password on one of the development servers. If it had worked, it would have saved me some time and a little risk. It didn't. That meant I'd have to trick the guy into telling me his username and password. For that, I'd wait until the weekend. You already know the rest. On Saturday, I called Kramer and walked him through a ruse about a worm and the servers having to be restored from backup to overcome his suspicions. What about the story I told him? The one about listing a password when he filled out his employee papers? I was counting on him not remembering that had never happened. A new employee fills out so